Welcome to Morse Code and Inspector Morse Podcast. I'm your host, Sugary. Today, Last Bus to Woodstock, Season 2, Episode 4. I'll be looking at this episode and connecting it to the book because this is one episode where I did listen to the book and I read the book years ago. And so there's some compare and contrast there. I really enjoyed that process of going through both and examining the similarities and differences, which are there. It was very similar to the book in certain ways. It's always interesting, though, to see how the showrunners choose to take the original source and adjust it to the TV, to the television viewers, and just the art form of television. And so that's interesting. I apologize for being stuffed up during this episode. I just got through a little sickness, so but I really enjoy this podcast, and I'm going to keep doing it. So I know there's a gap between how often I do it. I'm on a little vacation right now because of Thanksgiving break in the U.S. And so I'm going to try to do another one soon. I love it. And so as I say at the end of this podcast, because I have there's a lot of listeners for this. I think there's just a huge Morse audience, and we all love the series. So if you want to email me your analysis of the show or any thoughts of the show, feel free, because I can do extra episodes based off of that if you want. It depends. I know most podcast listeners just listen and move on with their day. That's cool. That's what I do typically. But if you don't, if you want to add to this, and if I get enough emails, I will add that to the to what this podcast is, you know, which is an analysis of Morse. And every once in a while, I'll do other mysteries because I just love the genre. I've actually gone back and started watching Foyle's War again because I just want something to watch. And I just finished Hotel Portofino. I'm thinking about doing a podcast on that. Really like that series as well. Not as much of a mystery, but you know, British, and I like British shows in general. So I hope you enjoy this episode of Morse Code, and I appreciate you sharing it with the Morse community. Please continue to share it, because that's what allows us to grow and build a community off of that. And I love seeing that there's an audience, because it's nice to know that what I'm doing, the work I'm putting in, is being well received. Please also leave a rating if you can. So thanks for listening. I'll see you after the music. Welcome to Morse Code and Inspector Morse Podcast. Finally back for another episode. I've been working on this one for a while because I listened to the book and I watched the show a few times. So I'm going to be discussing Last Bus to Woodstock, which I actually read years ago, probably like 15 years ago. And then I listened to the book with Kevin Whately reading, which is always a really fun experience. And I watched it from episode 4 of season 2. So it was a fun listen, but I definitely enjoyed the John Thaw TV version more, as I typically do with this show. I don't think that will ever change for me. There's no way you're going to get me to like the book more than the show. I would never say that for anything else. I always like the Agatha Christie books more than the show, even though I love the David Suchet version of Agatha Christie. But I don't know, something about Morse, the show and the score and the characters, John Thaw, probably most of it's John Thaw, you know? And so it's hard to get me to change my mind on that. But let me just jump into the plot right away, because I think it's an interesting plot. It's a good one, and I like to start these episodes with the plot. So this is all related to a young lady named Sylvia Kane, you know, who murdered Miss Kane. And there are a lot of characters in this episode, but it comes down to an accident, which I'll get into later. So you have Sylvia. She's picked up by a professor named Bernard. I really want to say Bernard because that's how we say it in America, but I'll call him Bernard for now. Bernard Crowther. And they had an argument. She stormed out, Sylvia did, out of the car, and it's raining, and Bernard's mistress, Mary Widdowson, she spots Sylvia, hits her out of jealousy, and then Bernard accidentally runs over Sylvia. Now, I have a Shookery conspiracy theory, which I'll get into in a very short time, which I don't do on this show a lot, but I just don't buy some of this. So I want to get into that just for fun. I'm not saying I really believe it, but I kind of think that we could have looked at different POVs when it comes to this episode. So that's the plot. And I really enjoy this episode. There are a lot of characters, but it works well. It really does. You know, it fits together. And I'll start with this analysis at the beginning of the episode, because I enjoyed the opening scene, the rainy setting that we're introduced to. It was a long extended opening scene, which you don't always get with Morse. And Morse and Lewis are involved. This specific pub is there. We're introduced to certain characters that we see throughout, specifically John Saunders and Peter Newlove. And so Saunders is a kind of an important side character to this. He's this 20-something male, and he seems like, you know, one of your typically like lost guys in their 20s. He doesn't have a good job. He's kind of struggling in life. You get more analysis of Saunders in the actual book, as you probably will typically do with Morse. So I guess that is an advantage to the book over the show, where you get more of an analysis and a character study of a lot of the characters. But Saunders is supposed to date Sylvia, and that doesn't happen because she's murdered in the episode. And I never really understand why she's on her way to date him, because it seemed like it was kind of a manipulation from her, maybe. I think that's what they were trying to say. But why would Sylvia want to date this awkward guy? It didn't make sense to me. So also, and I guess I'll just get into like my theory of my conspiracy first at the beginning of this. Why would Sylvia find Bernard Crowther, this very, you know, this older guy in his mid to late 60s, why would he be her type? I just didn't buy it. So I guess that's, you know, a big part of my theory. We're just given the killer's point of view. I think it makes sense that Bernard would have ran her over intentionally. I mean, why wouldn't that have happened? I don't see Bernard as her type, really. And the idea that she's upset with him and she storms out, come on, I don't know. Crowther, throughout the episode, he comes across as a creepy, arrogant guy. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Throughout the episode, he seems off. And Mary Widdowson, she seemed like very loyal to Bernard Crowther. So that's my conspiracy. You don't have to believe it. You don't have to agree with it. But you can at least agree with this. The casting of Bernard and Sylvia together as a possible couple or something, I didn't buy it. I think the casting of Bernard was a little off to me. So I just don't believe Sylvia would have been interested. My theory also connects to what happens later with Angie Hartman and the younger professor, Peter Newlove, where you have a similar dynamic in age and power. And so I think that could have been a theme if they were to question more the POV of Bernard and later on Mary Widdowson. So back to the opening scene, very strong scene. We're introduced to Newlove as well, you know, so arrogant. Morse clearly doesn't like him. I didn't like the acting from Saunders is how you know, we say it in the U.S., from Saunders in this scene. Later in the episode, he's fine, but something was off. I'd say stilted in the cadence of his speech. It took me out of the scene. I did love Morse. You know, Morse was smiling when Saunders gets an attitude with Lewis after Lewis asks Saunders some question about, I can't remember what the question was, but Saunders gets a little attitude with him. This was not a good episode for Lewis. Arguably, you could say this was a step back for Inspector Lewis. And so he doesn't look too good throughout the episode. If I didn't know anything about the evolution of this show and I was watching it live in the 1980s, I would have thought like they're going to replace this guy, this character, because he was that bad on the episode. You know, two more characters that I'm a little critical of, in addition to the Saunders character at the beginning. And this is not based on the acting, though, but just in general, the use of these characters, Clive Palmer and Jennifer Colby. In the book, Colby is essential, by the way. But on the episode, I didn't really care about her relationship with Clive Palmer. I mean, I may be forgetting something here, but the characters were a diversion to me. Sometimes, you know, you can have too many characters in an episode that it doesn't lead to character development of the main characters that you need. So I don't know. Why do I need to know about Clive and Jennifer breaking up and him going to her house and saying it's over? And was it necessary? It just didn't seem important to me at all. As I look back, especially as I watched it a few times, I was thinking, why are they here? You know, I would have liked to see more Angie, because Angie was closer to a very important character in the book, which I'll get into in a second. Okay, so bringing up the book, I did notice many similarities between the show and the book, like Morse with the public announcement regarding Sylvia's death. One addition that I really, really did like, and I want to emphasize, is Max's relationship with the Crowthers. I believe Margaret is his niece. I may be wrong there, but I think that she's supposed to be his niece. And I like seeing characters out of their element. You know, Max still seemed like Max, but it was still nice to see him in a different setting. You know, the scene itself was kind of strange. Bernard, again, being creepy, talking about death in a odd way. I mean, you could talk about death, but it just seemed like he was off. And Max was trying to help his niece, you know, as she's hosting, you know, by making jokes about everything that was coming out of Bernard's mouth, basically. So I loved Max in this scene. Definitely a strength of this episode. Now, another addition in a sense, not really an addition from the book, but addition in terms of importance and significance to the episode, was Miss Jarman. She's up there on the list as one of my favorite characters on this series. She's amazing, so amazing. I just loved how she told Morse, like, to not interrupt her as she was talking. She had Morse's absolute respect. You could tell, like, John Thaw was respecting her on the screen. Such a phenomenal actor. Miss Jarman is kind of like an Agatha Christie character. Maybe that's why I liked her. Quirky, eccentric, just one of those specific kind of character types. And I just loved how she kept saying the word "it" to describe the other person with Sylvia, because she couldn't be sure what it was. And she kept bringing up that term "it." And it just plays so well in the show. And that's one of those scenes where you really see the difference between, or you see how an actor can take lines and do different things with it and just expand the significance of a character based on their acting ability. And Miss Jarman definitely did that. She was so good, so funny, so important to the episode. It wouldn't have been the same without her. No doubt about it. It would not have been the same without her. Now, as far as the Morse-Lewis dynamic goes, I always like to go into that on these episodes. I didn't like how Morse criticized Lewis throughout. There was one scene where Lewis is just kind of venting about having to go home and be a disciplinarian. He's just kind of tired because he's working all day, especially the way Morse works him on every episode, overtime all the time, right? Well, I don't know. Morse goes off on him and acts as if he's complaining too much, and I guess Morse is being, in his mind, a feminist of some sort. But I just felt like, you know, I'm a father of three, and Morse doesn't get it. He doesn't understand Lewis trying to balance his work-life balance. And so you just can't criticize Lewis in that situation if you're Morse. How can you? Lewis has kids and a wife and responsibilities, and Morse is just being Morse. And that's where the power dynamic is a little bit like, come on, Morse, get with the program. So I didn't like that, and I felt for Lewis there. Now, my favorite scene, or my favorite combination of scenes, was Morse and Angie Hartman, because Hartman seems to be playing Sue Widdowson from the book. And in the book, Morse and Sue, they date, They clearly like each other, but then Sue ends up as the actual killer. The actual killer, you know? And it seems to me that Angie and Sue are very similar from the book to the show. So I think they're basically the same. There's a definite age difference in both the book and the show. But I will say that in terms of age difference between Morse and the woman he's interested in. But I let's go into the show. I did like the back and forth, you know, discussing poetry, repentance as a concept, which is a huge theme in this episode. If you pay attention, they bring up repentance a lot. And John Wilmot, one or the other. Well, the episode made me look up Wilmot, and he was a very risque writer, to say the least, focusing on mature subjects. Morse is actually reading The Debt to Pleasure, which is an important book of Wilmot's. You know, at some point in the episode, he's reading that. And in some ways, Wilmot kind of represents Morse, because there's an emphasis on pleasure seeking from Wilmot. And I think that Morse is like that. You know, he's a pleasure seeker for sure. So I see the connection there, but I didn't see the connection in your typical Colin Dexter way, where the literary reference the references are deeply intertwined, you know, with the actual show and the plot, the storyline. And so I didn't see that. It wasn't as strong as a Lewis literary reference. Crowther was a scholar of Wilmot, so that's a connection. But I just felt it didn't feel as strong as you'd usually see from, like, you know, Lewis and Hathaway on a Lewis episode. So that was the literary reference that was primary in this episode. So let me just jump to the end. I could discuss so many elements of this, but I'll focus on Mary and Bernard as the killers. Interesting, you know, because again, a different choice than the book. So Morse's love interest is not the killer, as is in the book, which I thought was a better kind of choice. Also in the book, Bernard and his wife die in different ways, so they didn't do that. The showrunners, they chose to go with Mary, which honestly, that was a strange choice to me, because we barely saw her character. She's the nurse who hits Sylvia. I've never been a big fan of taking a minor character and then all of a sudden making them the killer at the end. You know, they're the perpetrator at the end. I'm just not a fan of that. I don't think it's fair to the audience, because it's like you're investing in something and then they just like, oh, we got you with this. And I don't really watch Morse as a whodunit because I don't really care. I've never been into like guessing who the murderer is. I just like the characters and I like watching Morse. But, you know, I just don't like that element personally. Now, the episode was, again, a little Agatha Christie-like at the end with a nice summary of the crime. So that's not the norm in Morse, the Morse series. But again, that had an Agatha Christie element too, and it clearly explained to us what was going on. Sorry if I'm a little stuffed up on this episode. I just got through a little bit of a sickness. So I will finish with this, with my rating. I would say 8 out of 10. You could argue 8.5 out of 10. It was a very good episode. I loved the supporting characters like Miss Jarman. I liked the Max element. It was a very weak Lewis episode, so that's one reason why I dropped it a little bit. Lewis shouldn't be presented as clueless. I don't think that's a good idea. I think it's better to build up, which they usually do, build up the skills of Lewis as we, you know, as he matures, instead of just kind of putting him down constantly. I loved Morse in this episode, though. He's strong throughout. He is questioning of the witnesses throughout, whether it's the guy in the pool hall or Jennifer Colby throughout or Clive Palmer. Morse is strong, really strong throughout this episode. And so that's definitely a strength of this. And Max was wonderful. That was great to see him outside of the norm on the episode. So I like that experience as a viewer. It adds to Last Bus to Woodstock, which is, we should say, the first book in this series. The first book. And so that's significant, I think, in a lot of ways, because, you know, Lewis is presented in a different way in the first book. And I know as Colin Dexter wrote it, he adjusted the character and tweaked it to match John Faw's presentation of it on TV. So again, excellent episode, definitely worth a watch. And please email me your thoughts. I would love to, if I get enough, this podcast, I don't advertise for it, but I'm getting like a lot of listens. And I really am happy about that because I know you guys are just sharing it. So I want to thank you for that. Sorry I don't produce enough of it. It's just I'm very busy. I teach, I have kids, and I have another podcast. But I'm definitely, my plan is to get through all the episodes because I love the series and I watch it for fun all the time. So definitely, if I get enough emails from the audience, I know most people just listen to the podcast casually. So if you don't email, no biggie. But if you do, if I get enough emails, I will do episodes where I'll read the emails if you want me to. And kind of respond to those emails because I think Morse fans are very sharp when it comes to these episodes from the emails I've received. And so, yeah, please shoot me an email and I'll check out the Morse code Gmail address to see what you think. So thanks for listening. Please continue to share it with the different Morse communities out there, and I'll see you soon.